You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Okay, so a lot of talk about the vaccine. It's all been good news lately. The big question is, how do we get it from there to here and then into your arm? An expert on that, Hani Mamasani, is on a phone line now. Hani is the director of the Northwestern University Transportation Center and has been involved in this. Hani, welcome to Chicago's Afternoon News.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
So Chicago is a logistics town, right? But man, this is the mother of all logistics situations.
Absolutely.
So I know you recently talked to some stakeholders in this. Can you describe for me sort of what challenges they're facing and what the situation is?
Well, as you mentioned, this really is a massive logistical operation we're trying to do in a matter of days, what normally takes weeks and months to do. And we also have very special handling conditions because at least the vaccine that Pfizer, one of the two vaccines that is pending approval, requires temperatures of negative 70 degrees centigrade. That's a deep freeze, basically, and that needs to be maintained throughout the process. And so in addition to just the sheer magnitude of what we're trying to move, the time sensitivity of it, the special handling requirements make it such that, you really have to mobilize essentially that capacity in order to be able to deploy the desirable quantities.
You know, we focused a lot on the storage once the vaccines are on the ground, and I know some have been delivered already. But aside from the storage, the deep freeze locations, they've got to be transported in a deep freeze, right? Or relatively close.
And so, Pfizer has developed special packaging, essentially, for moving it with special cryogenic packaging, which essentially involves using dry ice to keep it at the desired temperature. So a lot of the product is going to move, in that special packaging. But then when it's on trucks, it's going to go in refrigerated trucks, for example, in order to be able to, minimize the temperature differential between the outside conditions and, the packaging itself. So that would reduce the likelihood that the vaccine goes bad.
Well, let's go to the trucks, because aren't we facing sort of a trucker shortage too?
You kind of have a trifecta here, because you have the holiday period, you have essentially an explosion, in e-commerce, and now you have the vaccine.
Yeah.
Now, while there is some competition, there's also very specialized equipment here, for the cold chain, essentially, that is being mobilized to move the vaccine. And that doesn't directly compete with, some of the other capacity. When it comes to air cargo, though, again, it may be displacing some other, perhaps, lower priority products, because the vaccine is going to have high priority. It's high value, and it's highly perishable, and needs to get there. And so there may be some trade-offs that need to be made there, but the vaccine certainly will have the top priority.
We're talking to Hani Mamasani, who is a logistics expert at Northwestern University and has been talking with the stakeholders about how just to get all of this done once we start vaccinating. Where will we get our vaccines, our vaccinating shots? Will we have to go to a hospital? Will we go to a drugstore, our doctor's office? How does that work logistically?
It is going to be a mix, a variety of those. And that's really up to the states individually and the cities ultimately to handle that. And this is where I have the most concern. In fact, it's in that last mile sort of, health authority to patient step. Because there, the capabilities vary widely, and each one is doing it kind of on their own. The main movement from manufacturing plant to states and cities, that's handled by highly professional teams that have been mobilized to process that. On the other hand, what is being done at the destination is going to vary widely. And so, yes, it's going to go to hospitals, but really hospitals are not even set up to vaccinate people at this sort of level or at the intended rate, particularly when we start ramping up, in about January, February, March, and so on. So hospitals will be part of that, but they cannot be the entire story. Eventually, yes, drugstores, and you may have similar situations as what you have with the testing right now, where you're setting up tents and, you know, trucks are there and people go and get vaccinated. So there will be special setups like that and, you know, in public areas. But that's going to vary, again, by location, et cetera, and, you know, what facilities they have available. Do they have the technicians that are needed, et cetera. In many instances, the product may have to remain on a refrigerated truck, basically, because you may not have sort of more permanent places to store it. So that's going to vary widely, ultimately. And in some instances, it's going to go to the customers. Like for nursing homes, for example,
right.
they're going to go to them, not expect them to sort of go to the hospital or whatever other point of dissemination.
Good point about the nursing homes. Of course, the vaccine will be taken to them. What about rural areas? I mean, are people going to have to travel distances to get this vaccination?
Well, that's part of my concern ultimately is, you know, as the more remote sort of you get, the more challenging it's going to be to get the vaccine to the people. And that, again, that's being handled essentially at the state level and state and local level. And so exactly where those are going to be located, again, I would say the best example today would be looking at how testing is proceeding and where people can get tested.
Well, in testing, correct me if I'm wrong, honey, but I think the lines might be shorter in rural areas than they are in urban areas.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely correct, especially for sort of larger state, lower density areas. Again, I don't know exactly what's being done everywhere, but
sure.
We're going to have a lot of variation there.
Do you know anything specific to Illinois about how they plan to handle it?
Well, we know that Chicago is pretty much handling it on their own, and then Cook County is handling, again, the Chicago suburbs. And then for the rest of the state, I believe IDPH is pretty much in charge.
It strikes me, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if this is part of your expertise, but it seems to me that each visit by each patient will require a longer interaction than just the test. I mean, the test was a quick swab and
right.
You're gone. This is going to be more involved, which means it might be a longer line or wait.
Yeah, I mean, this is like getting a flu shot, basically. I mean, it's, you know, with a little more time because this is still new. And so people have to be, you know, careful. You know, the technicians need a little more time to sort of learn. But the other concern, of course, is that two doses are required, you know,
right.
Both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, and then making sure that people get vaccinated within the right time frame and that you have enough product then because, you know, it's not clear that you're going to store that, you know, for the entire time for the second dose, or you're going to expect sort of additional deliveries. Normally, you would expect additional deliveries, but again, everything is different in this case.
Hani Mamasani from Northwestern University, I'm glad you're on it. Thank you for explaining things for us today.
Thank you, Steve. Anytime.
You bet. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.